Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today's daily editorials with a good friend, Jayant Bhandari. He consults and advises to a lot of the big players in the resource sector, especially when it comes to investing in, let's call them small and medium cap stocks. Jayant, let's start off big picture, because one thing you've brought up to me, we were chatting about off mic, I've chatted about it earlier this week, it's these good economic numbers that China came out with to kick off this week. We saw about 6.5% growth year over year, and really across the board, when you look at exports and a number of the different data points that were presented in that data, it was a strong report, a strong economic numbers. Now, I know a lot of people will say, oh, well, that's coming from China, so they can say whatever they want. But this is more of a focus and how China is bouncing back, still dealing with COVID, but being, one could say, a little bit ahead of everybody else in terms of controlling the virus. What do you think is important to note about those economic numbers China released this week?
Hi, Corey. Chinese growth for 2021 is expected to be about 8%. You were completely correct in saying that year on year in Q4, they grew by 6.5%. And China was the only major economy that grew in 2020. They grew by 2.3%. So these are very positive numbers. And more interestingly, Chinese merchandise trade actually exports went up by 3.6%, which is higher than the economic growth. And the reason is that they made excess of laptops, printers, masks, and sofas. And this is obviously a product of a fact that a lot of people in the Western world are working from homes. So they are buying more laptops and more office equipment. China had a surplus of more than $500 billion in 2020, trade surplus. So this is all very good. One good thing that I see is that China hasn't offered free money to its people. What they did was that they have instead invested a lot of money in infrastructure building. They have given a lot of cheap loans to companies, which means that their unemployment rate is about 5.2%. Wages have suffered. Wages have grown by only 1.2% in 2020, which is lower than the economic growth. But given all the problems that all the world is facing, Chinese suffering seems to be relatively low. Of course, from how they have put lockdown into effect in the country, you and I might find that repulsive. From at least from economic point of view, China has done extremely well.
Now, can we carry any of this over to what we could see in terms of a rebound in the economies in more the Western cultures in, let's say, North America or even in Europe?
My guess is, Corey, that China is actually benefiting from the suffering of the Western economies. So China is making not only recovering all by itself, but it's benefiting from transfer of industry from the West to China. Now, I don't like it personally, but it is what it is. And China is actually benefiting and doing quite well.
So what are you expecting in terms of then the balance between China in terms of the whole world? There's no doubt that there's a little bit of a fracture within the whole balance of power here. Do you see China starting to take over a little bit more in terms of not global dominance, but a little bit more in terms of the world?
Oh, absolutely. And, Corey, as you know, I love China. I go to China quite often. I love that country. But I don't want China to become the world leader because it is not mature enough politically and socially to take over the world. But unfortunately, that is actually happening and that will continue to happen. So I would really want China to just continue to grow economically and not become a world leader. But as you can see, Corey, the Western countries are becoming weaker and the US is losing its leadership position as time goes by. So that is an unfortunate thing. And as a result of that, Chinese elevation into a world domination will actually not only be bad for the world, it will be bad for China as well, and particularly bad for Hong Kong and Taiwan.
So, Giant, how does this all relate to commodities then? When we do typically see China doing well, China builds out a lot of infrastructure. They buy a lot and sometimes can hoard a lot of different commodities. Is there one or two commodities that you think really need to be noted in terms of this Chinese recovery?
Not specifically any commodity that I can think of, but we can clearly see that commodity prices have done extremely well and they are well supported. And you can see why they are well supported, because China continues to consume all kinds of commodities for its factories. China will continue to support consumption of commodities, and China consumes more than 50% of virtually every commodity produced on the planet.
Yeah, and that's something to consider too. But again, we do hear a lot of usually bullish comments around different metals saying that China's going to be a big buyer. I shy away from some of that simply because China can cause some misallocations early on, but Chinese fundamentally are looking for lower prices too, so we can see them exit markets pretty quickly when prices do run. That being said, Giant, let's move into some of the precious metals stocks and trading strategies initially, because you and I chatted about 3 weeks ago. We talked a lot about Novo Resources, and you talked about how you were waiting for some shares to come free trading, and you thought that would provide some short-term weakness and a buying opportunity. There are some comments on the back end of that saying that, you know what, it's not good to day trade some of these stocks. What's your response to some of these comments?
Corey, I invest to make money. Now, if I can make 30 or 40% in a few months' time, I will invest for that kind of upside. But I'm not a day trader, and I know some people criticized me about my comments on Novo. But remember, in 2017, Novo went up from under 80 cents to more than $8 in a period of about 4 to 5 months. Now, that's a massive increase in share price in a very short period of time. I participated in their financing, which was done at about 80 or 90 cents. And I have no regrets about selling it at a multiple of what I've participated in financing at. So, yes, I think it's completely a waste of time to participate in day trading. So whenever I invest in something, it is always for an upside of at least 50 to 100%. And then if that upside get actualized in 15 days or 2 months' time, I have no problem selling that, those stocks.
So, Giant, this actually leads to a bigger discussion on when stocks run and run aggressively higher, because Novo, it ran aggressively higher years ago, but just in 2020, we saw a lot of stocks go through 3, 4, 5 times appreciation in their share price, sometimes on the back of no news. So how do you balance out stocks that went on their run, let's say 3, 4 years ago, to the ones that just popped higher?
I have no problems with stocks if they run 2 or 3 times, particularly if my valuation of those stocks is higher than what they have run up to. But I'm always cognizant of the fact, Corey, that mining space actually does not make money for a lot of people. It is interesting to see what happened to gold price over the last 15 years. Gold price has gone up from about $500 to close to $2,000, but GDX has actually fallen from $38 to $35 today. So, you know, the problem is that a lot of people invest in the mining industry when there's far too much bullishness, which is exactly the wrong time to buy these companies. What you want to do is to make sure that there is underpinning value using the spot price before you buy these kind of these companies. And then if underlying commodity prices go up, then I can make extra money. But I don't want to invest in mining companies in expectation of higher commodity prices.
Fair enough. But it's also all about the work that the company is doing. And again, hey, some of these companies ran up nicely on the back of, well, funding. So that took away a little bit of that risk factor, and even doing some work or even acquiring different projects. So with all the news that happened last year, and again, all the runs that happened in those stocks, do you need to almost take a step back and revalue all of the company simply because there was this rising tide that moved everyone's market cap higher?
Well, absolutely. I whenever I invest in a company, I have a buy price and a sell price. I always have both the numbers with me. And when the share price starts moving towards my sell price, I reevaluate that company and I want to reassess my buy and sell prices for that company. Now, I own many companies that have run up three times and I haven't sold any of those stocks. I might have actually acquired some of those companies in the meantime because I think some of those companies might have actually added value, particularly considering that gold price has actually gone up quite a bit and other commodity prices have gone up as well. So I just keep redoing my valuation of those companies as their share prices start moving closer to my buy or sell prices.
All right. Well, Giant, let's wrap it up. One company that you brought up to me off mic, please share with us why you like what's called Gold X. Trade on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GLDX. Give us a little insights here, please.
Okay. So this is an interesting company. This used to be Sandspring Resources. They have a PEA on the project they have in Guyana, from which, according to the PEA, they can produce about 4.5 million ounces of gold. The market capitalization of the company is less than $170 million, and they have about $10 million in cash. Now, this company's project is only 35 miles from a project that Zijing has recently acquired, and that was through the acquisition of Guyana Goldfields. Now, before Zijing acquired Guyana Goldfields, Silvercorp and Grand Colombia were trying to acquire Guyana Goldfields and Goldex. And based on how they were acquiring it, if I use their ratios that they were using to acquire Guyana Goldfields and Goldex, Goldex could be worth, according to what they saw as the value, between $4 to $6. Now, I am in no I have no interest to chase Goldex right now because it is still a sort of an optionality play because Zijing has to see value in some of the high-grade veins that this Goldex has at their project. And also the burn rate of the company is extremely high. They are burning through about $1 million a month. I have to be careful about this company, but at the same time, I think the downside risk is very limited and the upside can be nice. I'm waiting for their financing to happen. I think the financing has to happen over the next few months. I would want to buy into that financing as long as that financing is at below $3 a share.
So what kind of work do you want to see this company doing to even entice more takeover offers or a takeover offer?
So what they are currently doing is that they are trying to identify high-grade veins within the project. Now, as I said, they have already 4.5 million producible ounces from the low-grade material they have. If they can identify high-grade veins, and it seems, based on talking with the company and connecting the dots, that they might have anything between 500,000 to 1 million ounces that could be trucked to Zijing Mining's project now. And if that could be done, you can clearly see that a company that is trading for less than $175 million market cap could go up for sale to Zijing for a decent premium. And that is where I think the downside risk is very minimal. And Zijing should be paying attention to this company.
All right, Giant, we'll wrap it up there. Always great having you on the show, buddy. Thank you for sharing some of your insights on, well, some of the stocks that we've chatted about recently, and also this Chinese recovery, which I do think is important to pay attention to. And hey, hopefully our economies can start going through some sort of more sustainable growth, but there's a lot of still question marks around the world. Giant, thanks for your time today. We will chat again in another few weeks. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you very much, Corey.